The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Welcome to Wheels Up Wednesday. Join the conversation at 770-5633. Of course, Wheels Up Wednesday means Eric Peters will be joining me after the 6:30 news, and we're going to talk cars and transportation, the latest regulatory state, trying to make sure that you will be walking and walking and walking, and your life will be turned into a real-life version of, what was that old Edwin Starr song from the 1960s? 25 miles from home, my feet are hurting mighty bad. And it's going to be that way every day because you'll be in your 15-minute city if you let them, okay? So, and that's a very, very important distinction as we continue to talk about the intrusions that are afflicting, especially the states on the West Coast, which we'll be talking a lot about that Saturday at the Patriots Conference, the Josephine County Republican Party's Patriot Conference, all day, starting at about 10 in the morning, right until around 6, a whole multitude of speakers. And you can head to JOCOGOP.org, JOCOGOP.org, and find out more about the tickets and the people who are going to be speaking. Now, I will be speaking with one of the speakers a little bit later this morning. After 8:30, Joe Altman will join me, and he is really big on the election integrity and ranked choice voting issue, because ranked choice voting is the next intrusion that the leftists are really pushing for, along with the charter changes that the leftists have been pushing here in Southern Oregon. So a lot of intrusions. You got to beat back the intrusions and continue to be happy warrior about this. But we'll talk with Joe about that. He's going to call the show around 8:35 or so. He's a podcaster, political activist, and of course, you know darn well that when Wikipedia describes him as spreading election disinformation, that's practically an endorsement. It's like saying, oh, someone who was paying attention and has really gotten involved in the in the research. Well, it's just like Trevor Loudon, when I was talking with him. He's a spreading disinformation, which tells you how useful Wikipedia can be on anything with the least controversial. But anyway, we'll talk. It's going to be, like I said, good conversation this morning with Joe, and he's going to give quite a big speech and presentation Saturday at the Josephine County Patriots Conference. Okay, it's a quarter after six. Now, there are going to be so many busy things. You know, once I'm done, I'm going to give a little talk there at the Patriots Conference too on Saturday. But then next week, we're getting very busy here in Southern Oregon, especially in Jackson County, when it comes to these charter changes. These are some of the biggest, most nasty intrusions hiding behind or under the guise of, oh, we're going to give you more democracy. You're going to have more county commissioners. And, of course, the only reason Democrats would ever want more of any position is when they're not in the positions. And that's what this is all about. So we're having these town hall meetings Monday and Tuesday in Southern Oregon, answering questions and just explaining why you need to vote no on Jackson County measures 15-224, 225, and 226. I'm involved with this one. Commissioner Colleen Roberts is putting this on. Jackson County Republican women are the ones actually putting this on. And I'll be moderating this. It's really simple. It'll be 1 hour. We'll be taking your questions. You submit questions on the cards, and we'll talk about it. We'll answer it, et cetera. It's going to be 1 hour this Monday in Eagle Point. This is the one. The first one will be Monday from 6 to 7 at the Ashpole Center, City Hall, 17 South Buchanan, in Eagle Point. So that's from 6 to 7. We'll be doing that. Good conversation, all right? Then, on the 30th, the day after, Tuesday, we've rented the Roxy Ann Grange, 1850 Spring Street in Medford, and that'll be also from 6 to 7 o'clock. Monday, Eagle Point. Tuesday, Medford, Roxy Ann Grange. And we'll have a good conversation and explain why you just have to vote no on these. And if you've been a little bit on the bubble or just wanted to flesh this out, bring some people who just don't get it and are wanting to learn more. Bring them in. We'll explain it. You have to understand that they're selling this under, oh, it's going to be less expensive. When is a Democrat ever worried about government being less expensive? I can't think of any. No, this is all. This is just about breaking things up and getting us into districts. Now, that's not what you're voting for this time. But if you were to vote yes on 15224, 225, and 226, 224, I forget which one. One of them is about lowering the pay for county commissioners, right? Now, the thing is, though, chances are, even if that did get passed, it won't matter. Because there's a lot of state statute that says this is about budget committees. There are state rules about this. You cannot do it within the charter. There are reasons for this. Another one is about going to nonpartisan. Why is it that all the Democrats are concerned about wanting to go to nonpartisan county commissioners? Well, it's because they know that Democrats have difficulty getting voted in outside of Ashland and Talent. In Phoenix, you know, that area. It's the South County. They try to do a county-wide vote. It hasn't gone too well for them, generally speaking. So, well, we need to change this to nonpartisan so this way that we can hide who we really are. That's what that's about. And then the one to go from 3 to 5, you go from 3 full-timers to 5 backbenchers. Well, I guess there would be 1 full-time one because that one would be elected at large. That's the way this would work if they did it. You had 4. Actually, they'd start with 5. They'd start with a 5, that's right, because they wouldn't be going to districts right away. But Kathy Shaw and the various other Democratic planners, the world improvers that want you in your 15-minute city, in your ecotopia here, they want you electing county commissioners in districts. As it is right now, every county commissioner that is on the commission, whether they're Republicans, they're all Republicans right now, but there have been Democrats in the past. They've had trouble getting on the last few years for some reason because, well, frankly, they're insane. I think that's part of it. And they're just not incredibly pleasant people for the most part when you see that what they tend to be complaining about. But anyway, everybody that's on that board right now was voted on by all the people. But what they want to do eventually is to get this split up into districts, 4 districts. It's what they're doing in Josephine County with their 17-116. Joe County, I think, is going to be smart enough to vote this stuff down. And I think the big problem with Joe County, and I'll explain, the whole idea of districts is that you would have 1 at-large and then 4 districts. So instead of voting for 3, you vote for 2, and Democrats say, hey, you're getting more democracy. Yeah, it's Democratic mathematics, Democratic political math. And then why is that bad? First of all, you no longer have county commissioners who care about the entire county. They will care about districts. They'll care about their district. It's just like when the other day I was talking about, who was it? Patrick called in. Patrick called in, deplorable Patrick, and he was saying, Bill, why isn't Cliff Bentz talking about central bank digital currencies and everything? Well, he's not on that committee. He's on different committees. He's on natural resources and, doing the wolves and the dams and the everything else. That's his bailiwick. That's his wheelhouse. It's where he works it. And so I suggested that he call the other Congress critters that are on the Finance Committee. And they would be probably the better ones to talk to about central bank digital currencies. And then I think it was Reverend David writes me, says, Bill, the first thing they do when you call up a Congress critter is that they ask if you're in the district. He was absolutely right. I forgot about that. I'm saying, go ahead and call another Congress critter. Try to get them to pay attention. If you don't live in their district, they don't care. Well, that's exactly what would happen in Jackson County. What would happen in Josephine County with districts. See, what's smarter about the way the commies are trying to do it in Jackson County is that they're not going for the districts right now. They just want you to go for, well, we're going to have 5 commissioners. And next they want to take it to districts. Kathy Shaw allegedly told Danny Jordan, the administrator, that, well, yeah, we're not going for that right now. That's this. They even talked about it. Dave Gilmore talked about it. I put it in my comment in the voters pamphlet. You can read it. Look it up. It's in there. Dave Gilmore said at a meeting, no, we're not going for that right now, but we will be. Dave Gilmore, former Democrat county commissioner. They're not doing that right now. They're looking at the five, especially the five commissioners, having five commissioners. This is an incremental step. And so this way, they're hoping that the brain dead electorate will just kind of ignore that. Well, more commissioners, that's better. More commissioners, and hey, maybe they'll even be cheaper. What was that retired environmental lawyer that was writing me? I did her an email of the day the other day talking about, well, these five commissioners, they'll be much better for long-term planning. Five part-timers, much more focused on the long-term. Don't think so. So, yeah, it has to be a no. This is like all hands on deck. So remember, Monday, Ash Pole Center, Eagle Point, City Hall, 17 South Buchanan. We're doing these town hall meetings. No on 15224, 225, 226. I'll be emceeing. It's put on by the Jackson County Republican Women. Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts involved in this too. And we decided we had to do something about this. Because, you know, the Denise Krause people, you know, they're out doing their things. Oh, we're going to give you more for less, and oh, we're going to take care of everything. It's going to be all sweetness and light. It's about getting more of them on the board. That's all this is about. As if we don't have enough problems with Democrat policies in this state at the state level. All right, and then Tuesday, Roxanne Grange, Spring Street, Medford. Great place. We've done several meetings there in the past. 6 o'clock both nights for the no on 224, 225, and 226, okay? 624 at KMED, KCMD. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on these next few days. And you can't just sit around and know watching Fox News is not going to keep you informed on such things, okay? Frankly, I almost can't tell you the last time I watched a Fox News program. It's been a while. This is the Bill Myers Show. What's on your mind? 770-5633. You can kick it around.
Freedom, prosperity, safety. These are some of the values that made Oregon great. Dr. Noah Robinson will work to preserve our treasured Oregon values.
As your state senator, I'll stand up to the Democrats and lobbyists in Salem, continuing the fight for your parental rights, promoting limited government, and protecting unborn lives.
Conservative, principled, independent. Vote Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. Paid for by Noah Robinson for Oregon Senate. ID 23412.
Are you adventure ready? Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products, featuring quality options for rooftop tents, racks, bumpers, winches, and recovery gear, LED lighting, dual battery systems, onboard compressors, cargo cases, coolers, and refrigerators. They also offer camp stoves, scuttles, fire pits, tables, and chairs, so you're prepared once you've reached your destination. Stop by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
625 on the Bill Myers Show. Dave, I wanted to get you on here. You live in Northern California, and you understand what happens when you have county commissioners in districts, because that's what you have right now. Explain that, because that's what they're trying to push in immediately in Joe County. And then and the Democrats want to do it in Jackson County. Okay.
Yeah, here in Siskiyou County, they call them supervisors, but it's the same thing as commissioners. And we have five of them, and by district. And you can't hardly talk to anyone outside your district. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the quorum rules change, because instead of having three, you know, you can't get any two together, because that's quorum. Down here, it takes three to make quorum. So then you change the quorum rules. And so you could have a lot of shady things go on that the people wouldn't necessarily know going on because of the quorum rules.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. And you've lived it down there. I remember when Captain Bill was trying to get the attention of the county supervisors in Siskiyou County about the environmental destruction of the Klamath Dam removal. And I think you had one, didn't you? Had one supervisor that had the district where most of the crap was being dumped in, right? And so he cared about it, but the other four were kind of like, okay, whatever.
Well,
right?
It took a while to get the other 3 to get quorum to pass that state of emergency. So
yeah,
it makes it a lot harder. It still can be done. It's just you got to push a lot harder.
Yeah. But anyway, point well taken, and thank you for sharing that, okay? All right, Dave, you be well. Let me go to Brad. Brad, you had a serious question about a family member. You lost a family member in California. What's the story there?
Yeah, Bill. I mean, thanks for providing a venue where people can at least get information. But here's my situation. We lost a family member that was 21 years old that was had her head on. She got sick 7 weeks ago today. This is in Northern California. They took her to the hospital. She died 2 hours later. They did an autopsy because it's mandated by California law. The family still has no idea what caused her death.
Really?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Wow. I wonder if that's nothing, if that's all that unusual in California. I know that if you send, even in Oregon, if you send stuff in for the drug testing into the state lab, sometimes it could be several months before you hear anything back. What's happened when you've tried to make some headway on this?
Well, obviously this is a sensitive topic. The family members that are immediately involved, the parents, the girl, they're very frustrated. But bottom line, there's solutions. And here's what it is. They're getting legal help. And it doesn't necessarily mean they got to get ugly, but, you start shoving some legal stuff up somebody's rear end in the right area, and you hopefully get some answers.
Brad, I'm sorry about the, your relative here. Is it a suspected drug overdose or something else? What are the suspects? Do we know?
Bill, that would be the obvious conclusion because of her being young. But this is a girl that was bright. Was a business girl, had every reason, had a boyfriend, and didn't show any signs of bad behavior. And we're not talking recently, for a long lifetime. So this is not, if she had different behavior patterns, I'd lean in your direction in your question.
Yeah.
But that it's not a fit.
Well, I'm trying to think of what to suggest. Is there enough money within the family that they could do a private autopsy? Because you can do private autopsies. You don't have to just deal with what the medical examiner and the county.
Well, to be frank with you, Bill, it's been 7 weeks. I think she's been cremated by now. I don't know. I don't even know that. I don't even want to ask my family. This is such a nightmare for everybody.
Which county? Which county are you dealing with?
Shasta, I believe.
Shasta.
That's where Bernie is. Mm.
Okay. I'm trying to think if anybody has a suggestion of what might do. I'm going to have to do a little research on this because I just don't know much about Shasta County government there.
And I'm not looking, but if anybody's got some input, an idea, I understand the process is slow. Everything's slow when it comes to anything that's important to you or I, unfortunately.
Yeah. What should have happened is that you should have declared yourself the leader of Ukraine. They would have got you an autopsy, I think, right away.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just irritated. Sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Anyway, the good news is if you put pressure with the right kind of pressure, a lot of times you can get results. I hate to say that, but those options are still there.
All right. I wish you prayers to a speedy outcome somehow, and that you can figure out what's going on. All right. I'm very sorry
to hear
that.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Brad. 6:31. We'll be waving our Ukrainian flags here in just a moment. Yeah, I'm being a little sarcastic because Eric Peters always makes fun of that of that push. Yeah, nothing for our border, but of course, we're worried about everybody else. We're worried about everybody else. But we'll kick that around. Wheels Up Wednesday and so much more all coming up.
The purchase of another gutter manufacturing machine has spurred speculation at the offices of Fontana Roofing.
Yes, we'll custom fabricate them on-site in your choice of 30 colors and includes heavy-duty hangers, zinc-plated screws, and complete downspouts. Great. Talk to you soon.
Another quote?
Yep. They're deciding between copper, steel, or aluminum. All will last decades. Even when they're occasionally plugged, they can handle the weight of water and leaves.
And space dust. Researchers have calculated about 5,200 metric tons of micrometeorites fall to Earth every year.
Ooh, what about bird poo? I'm guessing that's got to be in the millions of tons dropping from the sky every day into the gutters.
Montana Roofing manufactures sturdy, custom gutter systems to withstand just about whatever lands on your roof. Call Montana Roofing for your next set of gutters. Visit MontanaRoofingServices.com.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Serna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden has voiced citizen safety concerns over Friday's passing of a new surveillance bill. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was passed last week and gives the government access to internet and cell phone data without needing a warrant in order to help find foreign threats to the country. Senator Wyden says he proposed an amendment for the bill aimed at reducing the invasiveness of it, but it was not approved. Then community members and shelter volunteers held a forum discussing the future of the Jackson County Animal Shelter last night. The current conditions of the Jackson County Animal Shelter was discussed, as well as possible solutions other than the county's idea of creating an animal shelter service district. Denise Krause, who is running for the Democratic nomination for Jackson County Commissioner, says this project needs to be a priority. And the Ashland Schools Foundation is awarding dozens of new guitars to distribute to Ashland High School students. It partnered with the national nonprofit Free Guitars for Kids to give out 90 new acoustic, bass, and classical guitars. It comes at no cost to them, the district, or the foundation. Students will unpack their new guitars on Monday. For local news anytime, head on over to our website, KOBI5.com, or our Facebook page, KOBI5-TV-NBC5. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna.
Jim's in Grants Pass. Jim, you have a little knowledge about what might have happened with the Brad situation we were talking about a few minutes ago. He had a young family member who died there, and it's been 7 weeks and no results from an autopsy. They're having some trouble getting anything going. What's the story there?
Well, when I lived in Shasta County in the late 80s and early to mid-90s, during that period, and I think it was closer to the 80s, they got rid of their county coroner, and they turned over the duties to the sheriff's department. And that was really a mistake, I thought, even back then. So that could be a factor.
So the system, you're figuring, is just is designed to be slow when you don't have someone that's actually doing that as their main gig.
Right. And it's not really, being a county coroner is not a law enforcement, activity. So it was just to save money. That's what they did it for.
All right. Hey, Jim, appreciate the update there. Don't know if it's that way now, but we'll ask him. Okay. Thank you. We go to line two. Hello, KMED, KCMD. Hi, who's this? Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is Helen.
Hi, Helen. Shepherd. What's on your mind?
I didn't hear the first gentleman, but in my experience, the mortician, the ME, if you call them, they'll put you up until the autopsy is over with.
Uh-huh.
But he'll have to wait until the autopsy is over with and the death certificate is given out. The death certificate then will have what the person died of.
Okay. I'm wondering if the holdup there is the long time it gets to the long time it's taking right now to get drug lab returns from the laboratories. Or, you know, I think
exactly.
That,
everything in and above. And
yeah.
I lost my son 2 years ago, and I still haven't received a death certificate.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Helen, thanks for sharing what happened, though, okay? I think we're getting an idea that, bureaucracy seems to be a big problem here, all right? Eric Peters is standing by. We're going to crank it up, though. Wheels Up Wednesday will continue, and we'll take your calls at 770-5633. Have a question about car transportation review or something? He has a great review this week. I was reading his review on a new Toyota, maybe a new old Toyota, but Eric will tell us more about it all coming up. With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
What's it like to truly be part of a team? To know that when you need them most, your team members will be there for you. This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford, and I believe that's what we have. I see our work family show up for each other and Dave and I in ways I never could have imagined. If you're a technician who does not want a quota for upsells, you truly love helping people and you want to be part of something bigger, we would love to talk to you. We're Kelly's Automotive Service, where it's more than a tagline when we say we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Eric Peters, automotive journalist and genius, cityp.autos.com. Eric, wave you the Ukrainian flag. Repeat after me. Together. Kyiv.
I pledge allegiance to Kyiv,
Kyiv,
right?
Kyiv. Yeah, I have to tell you, I was just to me, it's a real affront, and it was Democrats that were actually waving the Ukrainian flag the other day. You know, waving. Wait a minute. Who do you work for?
Yeah.
Who does number two work for? Anyway, I'm thinking of that.
No, but you could say the same thing about the Republicans. They're just as bad.
I know. Everybody is.
They amended it. They went along with it as they always do.
Yeah, the amen chorus there. You know, Israel. And Ukraine and Taiwan. Taiwan, I think we actually have a treaty obligations, you know, to work with them.
We do.
Yeah.
And we do. But the point is, you know, you mentioned representation, and I think that that's apt. You know, what could be more clear in terms of who actually is being represented here than what just happened in Congress?
Mm-hmm. Yep. $95 million. And yet it truly was kind of like a fait accompli. You knew it was going to be going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And our congressman voted along with this, and my email box is just filled with people really upset about this, and I don't know if it matters. And he's going to come on the show next week at some point, and I'm going to ask about it. And yet I'm going to hear the same thing that I know I'm going to hear from every other congressperson mm-hmm. that was talking about this. Well, you know, the CIA came and they talked to us and they showed us the, you know, the intelligence. They took us into the silent room and yada, yada, yada. You know something? If it's that serious, get it out there then. Get it out
right.
there then. Oh, no, we can't declassify this. It's like we have government by intelligent agencies that are just, you know, taking Congress critters and then saying, hey, you don't want to be the one that voted no on Kyiv. And then with Hitler 3.0, which is Putin, because Trump is Hitler 2.0, right? We know that.
And, well, it's government by corruption, and I think really that's foundationally the problem. I don't think it's possible any longer to get elected to national office, to become a congressman or a senator, without being beholden to these people who buy representation.
Does seem to be that way.
You can't run a campaign without money, so who provides the money? You and I can't afford to buy a congressional campaign, but Raytheon and Boeing can.
Yeah, well, we've been talking a lot about that when it comes to our state legislature. Always talking about the fight against the lobbies. In fact, he just nicked the name. Here is the lobbies. You're always having to fight that. And part of that is because they only get about 10-20% of their campaigning finances paid for by we the people. Most of it does come from, as you talk about, the Raytheons, the Boeings, the
yep.
Pfizers, you know, various things like that.
Yep. You think your congressman is going to take a half hour to talk to you when you show up at his office in D.C.? Probably not. You know, on the other hand, if the guy from Boeing shows up, he'll take a lot of time to listen to what he's got to say.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, I have to say, our guy Cliff, you know, does. I mean, he'll you know, you show up there, he'll talk to you. He's going to be at the Patriot Conference this Saturday, and I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to be asking him a few questions about some of these votes.
Well, that's all well and good. Speaking of good, the one good thing to come out of this, I think, is that the realization is now becoming very widespread that we are effectively ruled by an occupying government. This government does not represent the American people anymore. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for all her faults, put it correctly, I think, when she said America last. That's essentially what we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm. And the Hugh Hewitts of the world will talk about them being the knuckleheads, right? The knuckleheads.
Yep.
And I get it, because if you're a beltway creature, what is supposed to run the world is state and intelligence. When I'm talking about state, I'm talking about the State Department, in which the forever wars and whatever it is, and military intelligence there to help support that. Then you have the Raytheons and Boeings that are all pushing it behind the scenes. And you're right; they're not even trying to pretend any longer. You can't even get anything about the drug cartels done around here, nothing at all that actually matters to people. I'm talking to people every day practically here that are having relatives that are dying from fentanyl on the streets, drug addicts, kids that are sucked into it, and they're dying at very young ages. We have entire generations that's having a good percentage of them being wiped out by this kind of stuff.
And that's just one thing. The infrastructure of the country is literally crumbling. The southern border is effectively open, wide open to anybody who wants to come here. But somehow, Kyiv takes precedence over all of that.
Yeah, and you have to ask yourself why. And when you get the answer, let me know, okay?
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, let's talk about what's some of the stuff you've been doing on the wide open road right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pretty scary one there right now. Watch out, Toyota. You have the Terminator on it.
Yeah.
Targeted for elimination or termination. What is that story all about? Toyota?
You mentioned earlier my review of the Toyota Corolla Hybrid. And as I was finishing that up, I got to thinking, this car is too good for its own good. And what do I mean by that? If you go back, we've talked about this many times, to circa 2015 or so, when Volkswagen all of a sudden found itself in the crosshairs over the supposed cheating on the federal emissions certification test. And I believe that fundamentally the reason that Volkswagen was targeted was because it was selling this lineup of high-efficiency, low-cost, incredibly long-range diesel vehicles that embarrassed the electric cars that they were beginning to push around then. Well, right now, Toyota has really gone to the walls with their hybrid program, and they're putting out these hybrids that embarrass these EVs. This little Corolla that I just finished reviewing costs $23,000, gets 53 miles per gallon in city driving, will go 600 plus miles on a tank full of gas,
and can be refilled in 5 minutes or less. Right?
Less than that. It's 11 gallon tank. I timed it. It takes about 3 minutes to fill it.
Oh man!
You tell me. Now, does it make a $40,000 or $50,000 EV that goes 250 miles maybe seem kind of ridiculous?
Yeah, it does seem that you're spending a lot of money for a whole bunch of nothing, really.
Yeah.
In other words, you're saying that Toyota must be punished. Is that kind of where you're thinking this is going?
Yeah, and they're already hinting at it. Michael Regan, the head of Biden's EPA, has already begun publicly disparaging hybrids, particularly plug-in hybrids, because people aren't plugging them in enough. And when they're driving them, the engine is running, and that's causing the climate to change. That's where they're going to go with this.
Ah, okay. Well, but still, the hybrid is the most practical way of electrifying, or at least partially electrifying, a vehicle. And I wanted to talk about this review. It was a great review. It's making me give a second look, because I'm looking at your reviews, and the vehicles I have in my stable are pretty old, and while I'm still employed, of course, as my boss is still looking, I'm thinking, all right, maybe I should have one newer vehicle within the stable, one newer vehicle, and then we'll talk about maybe moving some of the other ones along. And I'm looking at this 2024 Toyota Corolla Hybrid, and I'm thinking, gosh, for my needs, for Lindy and me, gosh, you could do long trips without spending a lot on gasoline, and it gets most of my driving around is in town. So I'm thinking, wow, okay, it gets better mileage in the city because of the hybrid system, right?
Yep. It's a phenomenal vehicle. Ordinarily, it's hard for me to find a lot of good things to say about new cars, and it's easy to find a lot of bad things to say about new cars. In this case, the only thing I could come up with to find fault with the Corolla Hybrid is that it doesn't have a spare tire. It doesn't even have a mini spare tire. It has one of those inflator kits, and they do that, of course, to make more room in the trunk and reduce the weight of the vehicle. And ordinarily, they're fine. You know, if you get a puncture of your tread, the thing, it'll fix that. The problem is if the sidewall gets damaged, you lose, and you're going to have to call roadside service.
All right. And the other thing you talked about is that many of these Corollas have steel wheels, which are stronger and less sensitive to damage than, let's say, a lot of the aluminum rims.
Yeah,
you got to call them
really
rims, right?
Getting us back to talking about Kyiv. Everybody knows the roads in this country are becoming really bad.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you hit a bad pothole in a car that has a 17 or 18-inch aluminum rim, and it's very, very easy to damage one of those things. And they're not fixable, generally. You know, you just have to replace it. And the cost of a new aluminum rim from your friendly local dealer is pretty exorbitant. Those steel wheels, they can take a beating. They almost never break. And, you know, you never have to really worry about it. And it's just smart, I think, to have that. You know, in a high-performance car, having a large wheel with a wide tire, okay, for traction and handling, all of that makes sense. But for, you know, what we're talking about here is basically an economy car. What you want is a smaller wheel because it makes more sense.
Less rolling resistance, right? Now, the other thing about the 2024 Toyota Corolla in your review of it on epautos.com is that you can get this in all-wheel drive now, can't you?
Yeah, the hybrid specifically, which they do not offer with the non-hybrid. So that's kind of an interesting thing for people who want the additional grip that's available. And by the way, there's two other things that are available in the Corolla family. They make a Corolla Cross, which is a hatchback. And you can also get a sporty version of the Corolla called the GR, which has a manual transmission.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they made manual transmissions any longer.
Well, they're bringing it back. You know, cheers. Stand up and clap for Toyota. They're really trying hard to produce cars that people want rather than that the government demands.
Well, you know, this could be a Gen Z and millennial anti-theft device, right? You know, keep the
Well, but you know what? Interestingly, I find that there are actually a lot of younger people who want a manual. That's actually becoming popular among the young crowd.
I'm glad to hear that. That cheers my heart because, you know, the thing is I love stick. And I learned to drive on a stick. A lot of my vehicles have one. I still have that 82 van that is stick, and I love it. I really do. Although stop and go, it's not so much fun, but you know.
You can't suppress the human spirit, and at the end of the day, driving is about having fun. And there are a lot of people who are young who want to have fun, and they want a manual transmission, and Toyota is responding to that. And it's a really salutary development. You know, it takes a while for the Titanic to turn, like we've talked about. You know, we've been complaining about all the awful things that have been happening, but people have begun to get onto the, you know, wise to the scam, and things are in many ways beginning to turn around for the better, and it makes me feel good.
That cheers my heart, too. Eric Peters, once again, epautos.com. It's Wheels Up Wednesday. We're talking cars and transportation. I agree with you that in some respects, I'm going to be talking about this. I'll be speaking at a Patriots conference here in Southwest Oregon. A lot of speakers are getting together. And one of the things that I'm coming to realization, as bad as it looks right now, and it does look bad, okay, there's a lot of places where you see the corrosion and the destruction of the infrastructure and of a civil society. But there's another way of looking at this too, Eric, is that the ideas that have been pushed by the ruling regimes here of the last 20, 30 years, especially here, don't work. And it's becoming obvious that they don't work. And at some point there, when it doesn't work and enough people realize that it doesn't work, then we can restore, I think, a more sensible way of life. And so maybe this is just part of the process. You know, you have to go through the stupid. You got to go through the stupid world improvers first. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you know, there was a column that James Kunstler put out a couple of weeks ago in which he divided the situation between the sane and the insane.
Yeah.
And I think that was very apt. You know, we're no longer talking about differences over policy. We're literally talking about crazy people who are, you know, immune to facts and reasonableness, who are just zealots, who are determined to push completely batty solutions on everybody for the sake of their own bizarre motives.
Well, yeah, even with the carbon agenda is about eliminating you. Do you not see it, people? You know,
they're
telling you to eat a mealworm sandwich because they want you to despise life and hopefully kill yourself to save the planet. But they want to live. They want to live just fine.
It's a hypocritical, nihilistic death cult, and people are beginning to figure that out.
All right. So anyway, tee off a gangrener, buy a 2024 Toyota Corolla Hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now the one thing I did want to look at, because I look askance at these, I'm always concerned about continually variable transmissions.
Yeah,
because
I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay, tell me about that, because that is something I talk with the fellow at Dusty's Transmission. Matt Dusty will tell me, yeah, we have more problems with those than the conventional transmissions, but they're only putting CVTs and stuff now. What do you say?
And it's totally true, but here is another occasion to stand up and clap for Toyota. Their CVTs are different. They use a pinion-type gear for starting the vehicle off the line, in other words, to get it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then the band pulley situation takes over at that point to vary the ratio. But that takes most of the load and reduces most of the potential damage. Those CVTs that Toyota makes are actually very reliable, and they've got the track record to back it up. So there's no reason to worry about that as being something that you might want to shy away from in terms of buying one of their cars.
All right, very good. Well, I'm glad to know that, because I'm going to take a serious look at this. I really will, okay? All right, 2024 Toyota Corolla Hybrid. You got a question for Eric, another vehicle out there you're looking at. Maybe you're thinking about picking up something used, and let's kick it all around. Let me go to line one here. And I just dropped Eric. Oh, my gosh. I hit the wrong.
Oh, no.
Hang on. Well, why don't you hold on? Let me take a quick break, and then we'll get Eric back on with you, okay? Hang on.
Okay.
All right. We'll make this happen, okay?
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
One more day without the Facebook Live. I'll try to get the microphone and camera thing figured out, okay, guys? It's just one of those things. It's a... app updates and everything else, and then things don't work. You know, the companies come out, they update the app, and then it has bugs, and then you're just kind of stuck. All right, so we'll get it back. But I am with Eric Peters, epautos.com. Wheels up Wednesday. Alan, of course, you have a Bolt, a Chevy Bolt that you drive, and you had a question about that with Eric. Go right ahead.
A Chevy Bolt.
Oh, Volt.
They've been discontinued for a number of years, but I've been driving one for 7 years, and it's my daily driver. But my question, Eric, and by the way, I love his show, is the new Toyota. My first question, and they hardly don't ever say it, is how far will it go on electric? And does it go totally on electric first, like the Volt does, and then the gas engine kicks in?
Well, this is a mild hybrid. The distinction is essentially what you've just laid out. The mild hybrid, cuts the engine off when the vehicle is stationary, when it's decelerating and coasting, and at that point, the battery system comes on to provide power for the accessories and so on. It doesn't operate on the batteries alone for any great length of time. You generally want to plug in for that, which is what you've got. You know, your vehicle is designed chiefly to operate on battery power. And then I think what your range is, what, about 50 miles on the battery? And then,
you know, it's about...
Yeah, and at that point, the gas engine will come on, but the gas engine doesn't primarily power the vehicle. What it does is serve as a generator to create electricity to recharge the battery, which then powers the motors that power the vehicle, that propel the vehicle.
Okay, so that's what's going on. So this is a mild hybrid, different from your Volt, your Volt.
Yeah,
Allen. All right.
But I urge people, if you're going to buy one, don't buy a mild hybrid.
Why is that?
Buy a true hybrid like the Volt, because I drive mine, so the range is about 45 miles in the summer, 35 in the winter, because the cold really takes. But I drive to Medford and back almost every day. I never use any gas. Mm-hmm. I may put gas in it twice a year. When I need to go to Salem, I just drive the car. And,
with the plug-in like the Volt, it is entirely possible to operate the vehicle without using any gas at all. If you operate it within the radius of its fully charged range, which, you know, for a lot of people that works because, you know, maybe you have to drive more than 30 miles, let's say, to get to work and back, and then you plug it in. In fact, Chevy had issues with people who owned Volts because the gas actually went bad in the tank.
Yeah.
And you know, they had to deal with that problem. Now, on the other hand, you know, a regular hybrid, you don't ever have to think about plugging it in. You just drive it like a normal car, and it still has tremendous legs. You know, this thing will go 600 miles on 11 gallons of gas, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Hey, Alan, I really appreciate you sharing your Volt experience then. And by the way, Eric, why did Chevy discontinue the Volt? Because it sounded, the people I know that have the Volts, like Alan, actually really seem to like them. And
everybody likes them.
Yeah.
It worked too well, I think. is the reason why they abandoned the concept. You know, there was sort of an edict from on high that the future is going to be entirely electric because, you know, getting back to this business of insanity, the Volt is not considered a zero-emissions vehicle, even though effectively it is. It doesn't produce anything meaningful in terms of emission, but because it does have a gas engine, you know, they can shame it as being part of the, you know, the problem that's causing the climate to change.
Oh, it still sins in spite of the fact that it has some part of it is holy, but the gasoline engine part is that's the Satan. That's the Satan influence. Gotcha. Yeah, all right.
Really, it's a shame because that's the only vehicle, only hybrid of its type that was ever produced, to my knowledge, on a mass scale. And those vehicles are so sensible. If they had elaborated that technology and improved it, Volkswagen had a diesel hybrid that they were working on. You and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
And it was going to average between 80 and 100 miles per gallon.
Boy, that's pretty darn good. Even with the heavy, tubby cars that we have these days, as contrasted to the 1980s. Okay, let me go to line three here. It's good to have you on. Hi, who's this? You're with Eric Peters.
Good morning. This is Dennis in Grants Pass.
Hi, Dennis.
And, thank you. Hey, Eric, I got to thank you. I'm 68. I'm going to my 50th high school reunion in 2 weeks. I bought my first new car in my life only because you said buy one, and that was a Corolla, and I got a 2022.
Excellent.
Yeah, I put it in the garage every night. After 2 years, it's got 8,000 miles on it, and I love it. But do you think I would be wise to trade it in for a hybrid?
Well, it depends on what you want. You know, if you want to get that additional roughly 20 miles per gallon and weigh that against what you pay to get the new car and what you'd lose, you know, selling or trading in the car that you have, you have to work those numbers and decide whether it's worth it to you, because otherwise it's the same car, basically.
Yeah.
They drive very much the same.
Yeah, I really like mine. It's fun to drive. I consider it a sports car, really. But the other thing is, do you have to plug it in, or can you drive it and keep the batteries charged just by virtue of driving it, or does it actually have to get plugged in?
No. The Corolla Hybrid is not a plug-in, so it's something you never have to think about. The engine comes on to charge the battery as needed. The battery never gets completely discharged. The system takes care of that. You drive it like you would any other car.
Okay. What about the shelf life of the battery? When might you expect to replace the battery?
Well, we've got a good track record of that, and they last a very long time. 12 to 15 years is common, and that's because it's a part-time battery. You know, it's not responsible, as in an EV, for fully powering the vehicle and all of its subsystems all the time. It's there just to provide supplementary power for the accessories and when the engine is off, as when you're decelerating and coasting. So they last a long time, and they're much smaller batteries than in a typical EV because, again, it's not primarily responsible for propelling the vehicle. So when it finally does become necessary to get a new battery, you're looking at the current prices, I think, around $1,200 for a new battery.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is that Toyota Prius, by the way, thanks for the call there. Toyota Prius there's practically a cottage industry which has grown up around people rebuilding these batteries for the Toyota Hybrid, the Prius.
Yep.
And they are relatively small batteries. And there's videos online on how you can replace it yourself and save quite a bit of money. And it's not beyond most people to be able to do that. You know, anyone that had reasonable mechanical facilities, you know, that sort of thing. On the other hand, if you are a pure electric vehicle, that battery is built into the frame, and it's a much, much larger, much heavier, much, much more expensive, too. And you're right. When you're using it as a part-time, that lithium ion will go for quite some time before there's problems.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Toyota tends to use nickel metal hydride rather than lithium ion for its hybrid batteries. And that's a plus because you don't have to worry about the thing catching fire and burning down your house.
Oh, that's good. That's always a good thing. And finally, before we take off, though, something that we need to make sure that people who are getting a pure electric vehicle need to know. And Pacific Power has talked about this openly. The state of Oregon has talked about this openly. And this is bi-directional. This is one of your premier articles today, in which your electric vehicle will be used to smooth out the lack of power on the grid. That's the way it's being planned right now, out in the open.
Yeah, they want to use your EV as a battery so that when the grid goes down or the load is too great because of all the EVs that are sucking power and everything else that's sucking power, they'll use your smart meter to suck the power out of your EV.
So you're thinking that you're charging your vehicle at night, and then there was a problem, and maybe there wasn't enough coal power available from Wyoming or whatever, and then they suck some juice out of your. You're thinking you're going to have 100%, and then what? You see 60, 70% on the meter when you get up in the morning.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah. You could see this happening in the winter and in hot summer, couldn't you? You could see that happening.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, and that's just one of the many perils of this whole EV thing, which is quite sinister when you really burrow down deep into it, as I've done, and find out what they're really up to.
Gee, is it my electricity that I bought? Oh, my electricity becomes your electricity when you need my electricity. It's communist electricity, right?
Yes, it's a people's resource.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there we go. Read up. It's on epautos.com, bidirectional, great stuff. Also, the driver assist technology, EyeSight, you're big into that one, too. Another great expose on it, and the new car reviews. What do you have in the driveway for next week that we'll talk about?
Well, it's what's coming, and we'll have some fun with this next week. It's Kia's EV9, which is basically a battery-powered version of their very popular and very excellent Telluride crossover SUV. It only costs $20,000 more, and it only goes about half as far.
Okay, what could go wrong? All right. Hey, great. but still, it's a very good car. I have no doubt it's a great car. It's just, once again, You pay more for less range, and people are starting to figure that out, I guess, but we'll see.
Yeah, they are. And at the end of the day, too, everybody's feeling the pinch. You know, who can afford, all else being equal, to just say, okay, I'm going to spend $20,000 more on a vehicle?
Maybe what it is that you spend 20,000 miles more or 20,000 more on a vehicle right now because you're concerned that the regulators are going to come for everything else and you'll still be able to move. Maybe that's what we're really thinking
right now. Maybe, but even if you're concerned, who can do it? I mean, you know, this EV9, its sticker price is about $50,000 to start. And that's just a bit too much for most people now in this Biden economy that we're living in.
All right. Well, we have to become an elite. We have to become an elite and working for the government. And then we can do it. What do you say?
Well, that's the key. Absolutely. You're not feeling the pain at all if you're a part of the apparat.
All right, Eric. Hey, thanks for the take on. As always, we'll see you next Wednesday. All right.
You bet, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
It's 5 after 7.
Freedom. Prosperity.